Hello, dear friends, and welcome to our program. Today, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, your Son, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit that makes him known to us, dwelling in our own bodies and souls. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for the divine will that unites you as God, makes you one God. And thank you for that same divine will reigning in the humanity of Jesus now that he wishes to give to us so that we too can participate and share in the unity of the Father, Son, and Spirit and once again be made one with God. Come, divine will, think in our thoughts, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking, beat in our heartbeats, and breathe in our breathing. Move in our bodies and circulate in our memory, our intellect, and will. And may what we learn today be for the good of all souls and for the eternal glory of God. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as always, we ask Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. All you angels and saints, pray for us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let us continue now our study of Volume 14 of Luisa Picaretta's 36-volume Book of Heaven. And we continue with the passage from October 24th, 1922. The divine will opens the flow between heaven and earth and transforms a soul into a receptacle of celestial goods. My ever-beloved Jesus continues speaking to me of his most holy will. He truly resembles a master who, seeming to have exhausted all topics that he wishes to teach his disciple, is in fact only taking a pause for rest. He then continues with lessons ever more sublime, which enrapture the disciple and engender in him greater love and veneration. So Luisa finds that Jesus is not always speaking about his holy will, that is, in every day and every moment. We notice that her diary entries can be spaced apart by a week, even 2 weeks at times, or sometimes it's only a day. But in any case, Jesus continues this speaking after giving her these pauses of rest, if you will, because we can only absorb so much at a time, as Luisa could. And then he prepares us by this longing for more, prepares us for an ever greater knowledge and love for his holy will. But, you know, we're in time here and we're human, so we're all limited in our capacity. God wants to expand it, but he does that gradually. So sometimes we'll find that we go through periods of our lives when there's a whole lot of learning going on and we just seem to be flooded with the knowledge pouring in. And then at other times it might seem a bit dry. Well, during those moments of dryness or seeming emptiness, God's preparing us for the next flood. He's preparing us for the next outpouring of that knowledge of his will. So we don't ever give up and think that it's finished. His will is eternal and infinite. It'll never be exhausted. Only in our human capacity, we have to always be prepared for more. We have to, in a sense, our capacity has to grow and be expanded throughout this journey, this process of learning about his will. So, yes, we want our hunger, our desire to grow, but let's not be discouraged either when it seems to be going a bit more slow than other times. So it was when Jesus came and said to me, Luisa writes, "My daughter, how many prodigies are contained within my supreme will as it acts in creatures? When a soul calls my will into itself, and it in turn enters my will, and lets my will act in everything it does, in all of its acts, even the most insignificant, a current is established between the will, acting in the three divine persons, and their very same will, acting in creatures. So this current, at other times he'll say it's like an electric wire, you know, or it's like a thread or a ribbon or something that ties us to God, that connects us with God. Here he's using the image of the electric current. And he says this unites the three divine persons, the Holy Trinity, with us, because the same will of God that unites them dwells in us by grace through the indwelling of that same Trinity. Thus, if the divine persons love, Jesus says, or want to give love, they can find a place where they can deposit that love, because there is a place on earth where they find their very own volition acting in creatures who can receive this love. If you think of it for a moment, you see, for someone to receive love from another being, they have to have the capacity to receive that particular kind of love. So, for example, an animal cannot receive our human love the way a human person can. That's, of course, just the law of nature that God has planted in creation. So, in a sense, the creature that receives love has to be capable of that kind of love, either by being of the same nature or a higher nature to receive it. He says, this volition ascends anew to the bosom of the divinity. That is, this volition that the creature receives, who has the capacity to receive it from God, can return it, and then it goes back to God, seeming to be divided in two, both in the creature and in the divinity, yet always being one. It carries back to the divinity in a divine manner the creature's reciprocal love. You know, this in a nutshell really is what this gift is all about. It's all about returning the requital of love to God for all the love that he's given to us. And so our part in this is first of all to receive, as I say off the three R's of living in the divine will, to receive it, to restore it to the rest of humanity because it's been lost, and then to return to God love and thanksgiving and adoration, glory, as though all of creation had received it and restored it. You see, that's the motion, the role, the circle that each of us will complete by living in the divine will. So he's, in this way, he says, the eternal love becomes a flowing current between heaven and earth, flowing down, returning without impediment, there now being someone on earth to receive it, in whom love's own will resides so jealously and treasures and protects it. See, love's own will. Why? Because love is an act of the will. So we could also say the will's own love. But here he's saying the love's own will, because the love has its source in that will of God. And he says it's the same love that comes from God. That's why we can say, God, I love you with your own love. Father, I love you with the love of the Son and the Spirit. You see, God, I love you with the same divine love that filled the heart of our Blessed Mother perfectly. You see, that capacity in her that was there from the moment of her conception to receive the fullness of God's love and grace, because there was no impediment, there was no darkness of sin to keep that fullness from filling her and being with her from the very moment of her conception. So God prepared that place, that capacity for the fullness of love and grace to be with her from that moment, and therefore to conceive the Son of God. Now, in us, God's got to do it gradually over our whole lives. He's preparing us to receive that gift of the divine will, to receive it through the knowledge of it, because it's already there at baptism, but then to come to receive it as we come to know it. See, that's a process. It takes time. It takes reading. It takes study. It takes a lot of patience and prayerful meditation. It takes a lot of perseverance in remembering to do our acts each and every day in the will of God. And so God is patient with us. We have to be patient with ourselves as well. So he says, then if my divinity wishes to allow its beauty to issue forth, its truth, its power, its infinite graces, they have somewhere to reside. You see, God, yes, he can create out of nothingness, but once he's created the universe, he wants to find the place where he can pour forth his blessings, his graces and love. And of course, it has to be, again, a creature that's capable of receiving it, not only by being human, but also by being baptized. And in a third way, we could say, by knowing about this capacity and therefore being able to receive it, because you know that it's possible. And you therefore desire it. Once you know that it's possible, you want it, you love it, and you start doing what's necessary for it to happen in us. So he says, if my divinity wishes to allow this beauty, this perfection of God's will to go forth, its truth and its power, its infinite graces and blessings, then they have to first find a place, a person in which to reside that can receive it. That's our part, is to be allowing ourselves to be prepared for it and doing all we can by our life in our ongoing Christian formation, conversion, education, doing our acts, our growing in virtue, receiving the sacraments, doing all we can, reading, in this case, from the writings of Louisa, attending groups if we can to study them, listening to talks as you're doing now, doing all that we can to expand our capacity, you know, to allow it to be filled, then to be filled by God. It takes time. It happens not overnight. As some of us know, we've been doing this for a number of years, and we can sometimes be even a little discouraged or frustrated when we see it not going so well or so quickly. Well, then just go back gently. You know, we don't give up. We just say, Lord, looks like I've fallen away from this for a while. Let's go back, and I'll start over again with new fervor, new desire and devotion. Jesus says, they, and by they here in the next paragraph, he's speaking of all of these graces and virtues and attributes of God that flow from his will. They reside in their very own will now, acting in the creature. See, all of those things that belong to God are now in us. You know, that's what it means when we say that the Holy Trinity is dwelling in us, and us, we in the Holy Trinity. Everything. St. Paul says, you know, Jesus is the fullness of God. The fullness of the divinity, the deity, is in his humanity. And through his humanity, he says, yours is a share in that fullness. A share in that fullness. We don't have it, of course, by nature. That's why it's a share. It's a participation. But we do have it by grace, the opportunity, the capacity to share in that fullness of grace. It's all there in his will, because the will is the source of God. The will is, if you will, what generates the life of the Son. And the will of the Father and the Son together is what generates the life of the Trinity. This, by the way, is very much the teaching of St. Bonaventure, doctor of the Church and of the Franciscan tradition, that all of life, even divine life, has its origin in the will. And so the will of God contains the fullness of God, all that God is. And when God gives himself to us, God can't give himself partly or only in bits. He has to give himself completely. So at baptism, the whole divinity, all three persons, come to reside and dwell in us. It's an incredible mystery that we can never meditate enough. I think we'll be meditating it throughout eternity in the beatific vision. What unites us in that beatific vision is that the same God outside of us in heaven is the same God who lives in us, you know, in our own bodies and souls, glorified as they will be in heaven. So it's the same God, the same will that is there, that makes God God, is God's own very divine life that comes to live in us. He says, the current of love flows freely, and my will assumes responsibility for jealously guarding my beauty, my truths, my power, and for giving me the gratitude I deserve in view of the infinite graces I have given. See, this current of love, it's always flowing between us and God with one condition, dear friends, and that is that our souls must be in a state of grace. If we have fallen into grave sin, what we've called mortal sin in the church, that is deadly sin, that separates us from God and His grace, then that grace has got to, the current has got to be restored through the sacrament of reconciliation. If it's a minor, we call venial sin, that is not deadly, then, of course, we can restore it by good act of contrition, humbly asking God, forgive us, Lord, I've failed, I've sinned, come back to me, may your grace. And then, of course, to confess that too when we have the occasion, the opportunity. But serious sin is an impediment to this happening. So we must be living in a state of grace. If we're not, let's get there so that we can have that current of God's love and grace flowing freely again. Then he says, my will assumes the responsibility for jealously guarding, protecting this beauty, my truths, my power, my attributes, and for giving me the gratitude I deserve in view of the infinite graces I've given. You see, we have to protect it. Obviously, God's graces must be preserved in us, and they must grow in us through our Christian life. But he's saying, I also protect it. He says many times, this is the greatest fulfillment, the most perfect completion of all that I've done as God through creation, redemption, and sanctification that will be, that will ever happen before the end of time. Therefore, it's the most important thing to God and the thing that He most wants to see happen. So He will protect it also in us. He will give us amazing graces, incredible gifts, people to help us, angels to watch over us, he says to Louisa. He will give us so many helps for this to happen. And I know that you've experienced those already in your life as I have. Brothers and sisters, God is going to take care of us when we really take care of His will in us. God will take care of us when we take care of His will in us. That is, when we keep that current flowing by our acts, by our prayer, our rounds, our reading, our sharing it with others, the current not only flows, it grows. That's what He wants from us for it to continue to happen. And then He says, my will is what's going to ensure that it's returned to me, because that's its purpose. The will of God is a current of love that flows from the Father to the Son, and together through the Spirit, and back to the Father. That's its nature, is the love of God's will to flow from the Father and return to the Father. That's what He wants to happen in us. You see, and so He says, my will's going to do that if you let me. Just don't get in the way. Stay out of the way. Protect and preserve what I've given you. Do your part, and the divine will is going to do its part. We don't control what God does in us. All we do is allow it to happen. You know, this is a great lesson, I think, for all of us in life, especially those who perhaps are more insecure and anxious in their own personal development for whatever reasons. There's no judgment on that. It's just the way, especially people who have lived through great poverty or some kind of lack in their lives, a deprivation in their lives, that often we can become anxious and insecure. Well, Jesus is giving us His security. God's saying to us, I will protect you. You know, I will provide for you. I will take care of you because this is my own life that's in you now, that's operating. There's no reason for you to be afraid or anxious or nervous or fearful anymore. He says this often in the gospel. It's a very hard lesson for us, isn't it, to live with that kind of peace and trust in God. And yet it is a fruit that He promises us a gift that will come when we begin to live this way. I can certainly attest to it, that no matter what the trials are, there's a deep peace, there's a deep trust that no matter what it is, God's going to bring us through it. You know, He's going to take care of us. He's in control, if only we let Him be controlled. So the only thing we have to fear is really our own human will getting in the way. And even that sometimes He'll take care of to be sure that it doesn't. But He says, my will must complete the circle. It must bring this love, glory, thanksgiving back to me the way it was intended to happen in creation from the beginning. Lost, of course, now restored, and now that love, glory, thanksgiving can return to God. He says, thenceforth I will no longer be defrauded of anything. How is God defrauded? He's defrauded by the fact that He doesn't receive the glory for which He created this vast universe. He doesn't receive it through the creatures who have the capacity to restore it and return it, which are, of course, us human beings. The angels, the good angels, of course, who are God's messengers and servants, spiritual beings, do that perfectly, but we don't. So we've got to learn to let God do it perfectly again in us. That's what Jesus came to do. It's what He came to teach. It's what He came to make possible again in our lives. He says, therefore, when this happens, I won't be defrauded. I won't be cheated out of what is rightfully mine that belongs to God. I will be in perfect harmony within my will as it acts on earth in creatures and as it acts in the divine persons in heaven. That's a powerful statement. Let me read it again. This is Jesus speaking, God speaking. I will be in perfect harmony within my own divine will as it acts now in you on earth in creatures and as it's acting in the three divine persons and, of course, in all of the angels and saints in heaven as well. There will be a harmony there within the will of God, within His kingdom, because all, you see, will be living this gift of His will the way it was meant to be lived, not only in heaven, but as Jesus prayed, it would be lived this way on earth as well. How much more will I reveal concerning myself? See, He's got quite a few volumes yet to go here in order to complete these 36 volumes in Luisa's diary. How much more do I have to go in order to complete this gift? And not only will He continue to reveal it through Luisa, He'll continue to reveal it through us as we make it known as well, as He personally reveals it to us through the grace of our own lives, our own meditation, and the events of our own lives. He will then continue to make it known through us. When I shall have formed my deposit for it on earth. He forms His deposit. He's deposited this in Luisa, first of all, most fully, and now He's depositing it in us on earth. He says, my imprisoned love will be liberated. The currents between heaven and earth will then be free to flow continuously. See, my imprisoned love, this love of God that's in a sense held within Him, like in a prison, that's not able to be released because there's nowhere for it to go. There's no capacity there to receive it. He says, this love is going to be liberated. It's going to be let loose and poured out. And these currents between heaven and earth will be able to flow freely and continuously. What a great promise it is. If only we can get out of the way. If only we can allow the current to flow. Dear friends, it's an incredible mystery that God would choose now to do this, isn't it? Why would He choose now? Why? Because He says the human will has reached its lowest depths. It's not capable of much good anymore at all. Certainly never was capable apart from God. But at least human beings, through the strength of their own willpower and their own virtue, were able to accomplish good. He says, that's pretty well gone now. He said, your only hope for doing good now is through the power of my will. So he says, I've waited till now. I want to restore the gift to you now when the world has reached its lowest point. Also, when it seems that the kingdom of darkness has conquered the most. He says, my kingdom will reign. My kingdom will be victorious. It will conquer. It will always be greater and more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. But sometimes, you know, when we look around, we may wonder. But Jesus is saying, no, I've chosen now to show you just how powerful my kingdom is and the power of my will to overcome all these obstacles, all this evil, this kingdom of darkness that seems to be reigning today. My will triumphs. My will reigns. With that, let's take a moment for a little musical interlude. We'll return in a moment with our next passage. This is The Will of God in the Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta. I'm Father Robert Young. We'll return in just a moment. And welcome once again as we continue our program, The Life and Writings of Louisa Picaretta and the Will of God. We continue now with Volume 14, the passage dated October 27th, 1922, titled The Divine Will, Creature's Inheritance from Jesus and the Two Generations. Louisa writes, I was contemplating what had been written during the last few days and said to myself, how is it possible that my sweet Jesus has waited so long to reveal what his humanity was accomplishing in the divine will out of love for creatures? As I reflected upon this, my ever-lovable Jesus manifesting himself with his heart exposed, said to me. So Louise is asking the same question we often ask, why now? Why me? Why this time in the history of humanity? The answer of Jesus is, daughter of my will, why are you so pensive? The same thing happened with creation. How much time did I not have it formed within my bosom? It was only when it pleased me that I externalized it. How about the redemption itself? How much more did I not hold it within me? One can say that it resided within me from all eternity. In Latin, that would be ab eterno, from eternity. Nevertheless, for a long time, I wanted to descend from heaven to bring it to completion. It is my way to first engender my work within me, and then, at the propitious moment, to make it known and externalize it. See, God first generates things within himself and then brings them to light. That's the way God has done from all eternity. He has generated life, the eternal life within himself. But what he's saying now is that even creation and redemption, I generated within me before I released it, before I made it go outside of myself and poured it out into creation and redemption. So it's simply the way God is. It's the way he acts. You see, first he forms within himself the good that he wants to do, and then he makes it known. He says, "Know, moreover, that my humanity encompassed two generations within itself, the children of darkness and the children of light. I came to rescue the former, and for this end I shed my blood. My humanity was holy, was perfect. It had inherited none of the miseries of the first man and woman, although it is true that my humanity had features, natural traits similar to those of man. It's also true that it was perfect humanity, devoid of the slightest pimple, the slightest blemish that might obscure my holiness. My inheritance was the unique will of my Father, within which I was to develop all my human acts to form in me the generation of the children of light. My inheritance was the unique, that is, the only perfect will of my eternal Father, which was within me, that is, within my humanity, and in which I was to develop all my human acts to form in me the generation of the children of light." Wow, what a description of who Jesus is. You know, who do you say that I am? We heard in yesterday's gospel. We heard Herod say, "I want to see this man. I want to know who he is. I want to see what he looks like." Curiosity. This is the definition of Jesus. My inheritance, that is, my divinity, was the will of the eternal Father in that humanity. And within that will of the Father, I had to form all of the acts of my humanity and the will of my Father, forming them as well in me, because that was the way I would engender, generate, bring about this new generation of the children of light. The children of light, of course, being those who would be called later on in the future to come to this knowledge, the fullness of knowledge, and to be children of the divine will. In the very bosom of the will of my heavenly Father was I to form this generation. The very bosom of the will of my heavenly Father. If we don't see that in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, where everything Jesus did is in the bosom of that will of the Father, the heart of his Father, which is the divine will. He says, "Everything I did was formed there for you who would be called to become children of the divine will." Certainly, its first immediate purpose was to redeem us, make it possible for us to be saved and enter eternal life with God and his kingdom. But he's saying now it had a further purpose, another higher, if you will, greater goal and purpose, which was to generate this second generation of children of the divine will. He says, "I spared myself neither fatigue, nor acts, nor sorrows, nor prayers in realizing this work, in completing it. In fact, this generation of light was the supreme motivation for everything I did and suffered. You know, it's like the end goal, the final purpose of whatever we do is what encompasses everything else. Everything else is secondary to that, you see. So what if this is the final goal and the highest purpose of everything Jesus came to do through his incarnation, his life, death, and resurrection, then he says, it was what motivated me the most. This was my intention, most deep in my heart and in the heart of the Father. I conceived, nurtured, and formed this generation within me. I conceived, nurtured, and formed this generation within me as a mother. Christ acted, in a sense, in that image of a mother to conceive in himself, in his own humanity, through the power of the will of God reigning there, conceived all of us, dear friends, who would be called to live this way. How could anyone refuse such an invitation, such a great calling, such a great privilege and gift as to be called to be a child of the divine will? It was these, the children of light, that the divine Father had entrusted to me with so much love. See, they come from the Father. The Father's the source. But he's saying the Father entrusted to me and my humanity with the divinity reigning in it to carry out this work. It had to be done on earth as one of us. You see, this is the will of the Father, that it be accomplished through the Son. These, the children of light, that the Father entrusted to me with so much love. This was my cherished inheritance given to me within the most holy supreme will. See, what did Jesus inherit from the Father as his Son? He inherited certainly the will of God reigning perfectly in his humanity, but he also inherited us. We are his inheritance. You know, we pray often in the liturgy, in the Mass, make of us an eternal offering to God, to the Father. You know, why? Because Jesus owns us, in a sense. We're his inheritance as the one who formed us as children of the divine will, as members of the generation of light of this kingdom. So we're asking him to offer us back to the Father with himself, who generated us as a perfect gift, because only Jesus can make us perfect. Only in Jesus can we offer anything perfect to God. This was my cherished inheritance given to me within the most holy supreme will. We are the inheritance of Jesus. And in a mutual way, the divine will is our inheritance because we belong to him. You belong to Christ, Christ belongs to God, and everything else is coming with it because God is all. God is everything there is. There's nothing in the end that's going to be that is not God. Now, having made known the goods of the redemption and how I wish for everyone to be saved, giving them all the necessary means, been doing that for 2,000 years now through the church, I pass on further to make known that there is another generation within me that I must manifest, the generation of my children who are destined to live in the divine will. Brothers and sisters, that's you, and that is me, that is every child of God who is called into this kingdom of the divine will, to know it, to love it, and to possess it. Again, there is no greater gift God could give anyone except perhaps the Immaculate Conception, which he gave only to one and will not give again, but no greater gift he could give to any of us than to be alive today and know about this kingdom, this reign of his will on earth as in heaven, the way God intended it to reign and to reside and dwell in us. In my own heart, Jesus says, I have prepared all the graces, all my interior acts done for them, within the bounds of the eternal will. Jesus knew you as one who would be called to receive this gift. And therefore, in his everything he did in his life, death, and resurrection. He was preparing you, making the graces available for you to receive this inheritance through him. He wanted you to have what he has inherited, the will of the Eternal Father reigning in his humanity. So he says, I've made the preparations already when I was living here on earth, and I continue to make them in everything that happens in your life. Every encounter, every sorrow, every trial, every tragedy, every failure, everything that happens to you, every joy and success, I am preparing you to receive this gift and to live it as God intended you to live it from all eternity. He says, all that I have done, these interior acts. Why? Because it's obvious what he did in his humanity on the outside, but he wants us to know what he did interiorly in his soul for this to happen. This is what he's making known to us now. He says, all of these things I did interiorly are simply waiting for you. In this next sentence, he calls them beautifully, the kisses of the acts of this generation. I'm waiting them for these acts that I've done to be received and loved and returned, reciprocated with your kiss in union with this generation to release to them my inheritance of the will of the Father, of this supreme will. He's waiting, dear friends. He has these acts all done in the eternity of his will, the will of the Father, Son, and Spirit, waiting for someone on earth in time to meet them, to receive them, to give thanks for them, to exchange with them our own acts and draw what Jesus has done into our own acts to make them perfect, holy, sublime, eternal, infinite, like those of Jesus, and then to return it to the Father after we've given it and made it available to every soul that's ever lived. That's what Jesus did. He's saying, now come and do it with me. Come and fulfill this purpose, this inheritance that the Father has bestowed upon me. I've already received this inheritance, Jesus says. I want to give it to you. I want to give it to them in order to form the second generation of the children of light, to let them emerge, to come forth, be born, be brought into the light from within me. You see, we're all born again into that, into the kingdom of the divine will. It's another birth. We have lots of them in life, not just one physically. We have so many spiritual births and rebirths. How many times have you died and been reborn, all of us? Jesus says, I want now a second generation to be born into this kingdom. How does that happen? Like Nicodemus, we can't go back into the womb, of course not, but we can go back into the bosom of the Father. Through the humanity of Jesus, we have access to that womb of God, of the Trinity. We can enter there and enter into the kingdom, be born into the kingdom of the divine will as members, citizens of this generation of light, those called in our day, in our time, to live this great mystery of the communion of will. The inheritance given to Jesus by the Father that he now bestows on us in its fullness, saying, come now, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus goes on, if my humanity were not to give the divine will, which is the only object of my love, and that from which all my good comes. See, if I weren't to do this, if my humanity didn't pass this on to you by our shared humanity, which is the only object of my love, and that from which all my other goods come. If my humanity didn't do this, then my descent upon earth would have been incomplete. This is the great purpose of it all, completing the work of Jesus and the Father, creation and redemption. This is the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit, the third fiat, to complete that work. Jesus says, if it doesn't happen, my work on earth is not over. It is not complete. It will only be complete when souls like you and me, as weak and sinful as we may be, come to know about this, trust God, believe in God's love enough to accept it and receive it, to share it with the rest of humanity, and then return it to the Father. If this doesn't happen, Jesus says, my work on earth will not be complete. Not only would I not be able to say that I had given all, that is everything, but quite the contrary, I would have reserved for myself only what is greatest, most noble, and most divine. To me, brothers and sisters, this is the most perfectly logical reason for this to happen, because it must happen. Another good reason is because Jesus prayed for it in the Our Father, that thy kingdom come to reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. This is the way that happens. But here's another perfect logical reason. God is logos. God is perfect reason. He is the word of truth, perfect logic, that if this doesn't happen, the work of Jesus would not be fulfilled because he would not have given everything. And Jesus doesn't know how to give only some. God does not ration his spirit, and God is not stingy with anything that he is or that he possesses. He gives it all when he gives of himself. Jesus says, if I didn't do this, if this were not going to happen, I would have reserved and kept for myself what is in fact the greatest, most noble, most divine part of everything, which is the will of God itself. Do you see now why it is so necessary that my will become known in all its aspects, all its prodigies, effects, and its worth? Do you see now why it's so necessary to make known all that I did on behalf of creatures and what creatures must do themselves in return? Why is it so important? Because it's only going to be fulfilled if it's known. It's, you know, if Jesus hadn't come, the world would have never known the love of God. But without this knowledge now given through Louisa, we will not know the fullness of the purpose for which he came. We will not know the fulfillment of that new covenant, of that redemption. Knowledge of these things will be a powerful magnet to attract creatures and to make them receive the inheritance of my will, and to bring out in the open, into the open, this generation of the children of light. See, how will it be known if someone doesn't make it known? If what Louisa received in deposit is not now going to draw interest through all of the works that we do. First of all, our acts, once we know about it, the acts themselves will make it known, make it available to others. But then also our teaching, our words. Share what you have received. Share this gift of God, the greatest of all gifts. Let others that you know might be open to it, that seem to you have been prepared by God for it, let them know about it. Tell them about this program. Tell them about how to come to know the writings of Louisa. Pay attention, Jesus says, my daughter, you will be the mouthpiece and the trumpet to call and unite this generation so cherished and longed for by me. So cherished and longed for how long? From all eternity, God knew Adam and Eve would lose the gift, and yet he created them anyway. Oh, happy fault. Now that gift is restored in an even greater way through the Son, through Jesus. And now he makes it possible for us to be brought into that kingdom, to be children of this generation of light, so cherished and longed for by God himself. Afterwards, having withdrawn for a moment, he came back, but so distraught that he moved one to pity. It would make one feel so sorry for him. He threw himself into my arms as if to find relief. When I saw this, I said to him, what is wrong, Jesus, that you were so distressed? Jesus replied, I, my daughter, you do not know anything about what they wish to do. They want to gamble for Rome. Not only foreigners, but also Italians themselves want to subject her to wager. So great and so many are the evil deeds and infamies that they will do, it would be a lesser evil for the earth to spew forth fire and to incinerate them. Look, from everywhere, people are coming together for the assault. To make matters worse, they come dressed as sheep. when in fact they are ravenous wolves eager to devour their prey. What diabolical pacts they concoct among themselves in order to increase their strength for the assault. So often, you know, at the height of these most sublime moments of teaching, when they're the most beautiful, powerful, inspiring, Jesus brings Louisa and us back to reality and says, yet look what's happening on earth. Look what the world is trying to do. Look at the rampant evil. Dear friends, this is almost 100 years ago, 1922, at the end of World War II. They're preparing World War I. They're preparing already for World War II. Jesus says, look at the evil. They even want to attack the holy city of Rome. Well, needless to say, things have gotten a lot worse since then. We've seen such great destruction on the earth since then. So Jesus is reminding us that, yes, this is such a great and awesome calling, but we're still in a world that is so under the reign of Satan. It is still in the generation of darkness, in under the cloud, if you will, of the dominion of evil and sin. How do we bring these two together? I think it's really perhaps one of the most difficult and most important questions for us who have been called to live this way, because we do not live in any way isolated from the rest of the world or above the rest of the world. Yes, in a sense, we're living in the kingdom that does elevate us, if you will, into that kingdom and into a relationship with God that is so great. And yet at the same time, we're in the world and we must live it in this world, in the midst of all of this evil, all of the challenges. Why? Because it's precisely those who are called to live this way that have the greatest power and capacity, that of God Himself, to change it and to make reparation for it and to bring the divine effects and goods of God's will to earth through our acts in it, and by living in it ourselves, allowing it to reign in us. We become, in a sense, little pins of light for this generation of this kingdom. We become little openings, pinholes of light, because we're so small, and yet God's divine light breaks through the tyranny of relativism, all of the ways in which evil is just rampant in the world today and going unchecked and uncalled evil. And God says, now I want you to live in the midst of that and be this little light. Let the kingdom of the divine will break through in you. And not only by the way you live, of course, in your Christian virtue, but most of all by the acts you do in the will of God interiorly. Most people won't even know they're happening. They don't see the effects, but God does. Those effects are known to God, and they are infinite and eternal. They will benefit every single person from Adam to the last on earth, and they will restore glory to God. They will also, dear friends, make it more possible for the reign of God's will to extend to be greater on earth than it has been until now. That is our mission. That's our vocation. May God bless you and help all of us. Final words of Jesus, pray, pray. It is the last precipice into which creatures wish to hurl themselves during these times. Let us pray that God's kingdom come to reign on earth, in us, in our bodies and souls, and more among His creatures. May God bless you, help you and me and all of us to do that, and keep us in the heaven of His will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.